G'day punters and welcome to Winning Post's preview podcast for the weekend of Saturday, October 24. I'm John Barker and joining me is Carl the Jackal Diorio. Sad to say it, but Joel the Asset Marshal has celebrated long and hard after getting his darts team up in the first semi-final last night. So Joel not available today. But Carl, one of the biggest weekends of the racing calendar with the Moonee Valley Carnival starting to get some traction with Manikato Stakes on the Friday night, Cox Plate on the Saturday, and both absolutely fantastic races.
That's right. Now, Manikato's really, the last 2 years, it's been a really good race, probably better than it has been in a long, long time, and I'm really looking forward to it. Tomorrow night, it's going to be a fabulous race. The barrier draw, I think, has really made that race interesting, and then we've got, of course, the Cox Plate, which is quite an even field. I must admit, I'm a fan of Cox Plates that have quality over quantity, but it's hard to dispute that they couldn't whittle away the field anymore, because all 14 horses pretty much deserve their spot in the field.
Alrighty, well, before we go any further, I should apologise. We do try to keep an eye on the opposition and keep up with them. And look, we did put a proposal to Racing Victoria to have us served a three-course meal while we were giving you the tips for the weekend, but Bernard Saundry just wouldn't come at it. So we're going hungry, but hopefully you won't on after our tips for the weekend. And we'll kick off. We'll go in chronological order at the Valley with Friday night's feature, Race 7. The William Hill Manikato Stakes, Group 1, $1 million, standard weight for age. Chautauqua is a warm, although perhaps easing favourite after drawing barrier 2. Was odds on, is now out around about the $2.20 mark. Carl, where have you gone in the Manikato?
I've gone against him. He's clearly the one to beat, but Chautauqua barrier 2, Terra Vista barrier 1, they both get back in the field. I don't think those inside barriers are going to favour them, so I've just bet around them and looked for a bit of value. I've gone with 4 Rebel Dane, has just returned in really good form, had a wind operation, and that wind operation looks to have done the trick. He's just gone to that, returned to that form that he had as a 4-year-old, and I really liked his first up win, and then he was a close up second to Terra Vista last time. From barrier 4, he should get every possible run, every possible chance, I should say, and get a clear run at them in the straight. He did run fourth last year in that blanket finish. For second, I've put in number 2, which is Chautauqua. For third, number 1, which is Buffering, who's likely the lead and be there for a long way. And for fourth, number 6, Fast and Rocking, who might just swoop over the top.
Okay, well, I've gone for what I feel are the best 1,200-metre horses in order. 2, Chautauqua to beat 3, Terra Vista. 8, Shrikandi, 4, Rebel Dame, with apologies, of course, to the mighty Buffering at number 1. Saturday, huge day of racing at the Valley, highlighted, of course, by the Cox Plate. We'll take you right through the black type, unless, Carl, you want to share with us a very special horse that you've got in the English banner, do you? Or we'll just go straight to the black type.
We'll mention it. We might as well. Race 1, number 7, horse there, Quiet Order. Son of Commands, Colt, that's closely related to the Australasian Oaks winner, maybe Discreet. I've been watching its Cranbourne unofficial jump outs and been really taken aback with this this Colt. And I think he's got plenty of ability and he's around about 20-1. So if you have got a bit of money in your pocket early in the day that you want to throw away, maybe have something each way in number 7, Quiet Order.
All right, well, the first of the black type races at the Valley on Saturday is race 3. The Alliance Broking Services Fillies Classic, formerly known as the Moonee Valley Oaks, and was run over 2040 metres, has had a short and fairly varied history, various dates on the calendar and so forth, but has drawn a decent field of mile fillies here, Carl.
Gone with 9, Silent Sedition. I thought it was all 3 runs to date really been good, placed in all 3. Ran on against the pattern of the day at Seymour on debut, and then placed twice at Caulfield, and really hitting the line strongly both times. It gives the indication that 1600 metres won't be a problem. Look for her to be finishing on strongly. From 3, Don't Doubt Mama, who I think is much better then the last start effort in the Edward Manifold suggests the Atlantic Jewel run three starts back was very good behind the subsequent 1,000 guineas winner Stay With Me. Third number 8, which is Thames Court, and fourth number 1, which is My Pipette.
Yeah, I respect Silent Sedition in this race. Just went for number 1, My Pipette, because if it was a handicap, obviously she'd be giving the maiden a bit of weight here. So 1, My Pipette, to beat 9, Silent Sedition. For third, I've got 3, Don't Doubt Mama. And for fourth, number 4, Seeking Asylum. 1, 9, 3, 4, my numbers. Race 4, Telstra Phone Words Stakes. That, of course, the Fillies Classic was the first leg of the early quad. This is the second leg. It is the Telstra Phone Words Stakes for 3-year-olds of Group 3 over 1,200, Carl.
Gone with 5, well sighted. I just think the 1,400 was too much for him last time. He was there to bear the win, but he just didn't finish off, and it was quite a plain effort. Was a noticeable drifter in betting as well. The start prior, though, second up at Caulfield, was very good behind Bassett. Finished just behind Mahawad, which... I haven't said that right, have I?
Mahawad,
yeah. Which was a really nice run in that race. And then Mahawad came out and ran second to Keena Ray in very, very quick time. They were just 0.2 outside the track record. So I've gone with 5, well-sided from 3, Mahawad. Third, number 6, which is Ability, which I think is fitted for recent racing and should be getting to its peak right now. And fourth, number 1, Holler.
Yes, I'm with Mahawad. Just thought that Keena Ray form at the level weights here would be the one to follow. Barrier 9 worrying me slightly. 1, Holler for 2nd. 2, Demonstrate for 3rd. And number 6, Ability for 4th. 3, 1, 2, 6. Race 5, third leg of the early quad at Moonee Valley on Saturday, is the Antler Luggage Crockett Stakes. And similar conditions, though, set weights and penalties, and for the fillies over 1,200 metres, Carl.
Not a great deal of speed on paper. They all should find their positions quite easily. I think Carlin River and Miss Gidget will go forward. And I've just put 7, Tis My View, on top. I think we'll get a nice run just off the pace. It's a good winner first up at Ballarat in a against the older horses. It just got the beautiful run in behind and finished over the top. It may happen again here from Barrier 7. So it got it on top from 1, which is Serene Majesty, which finished over the top from last off a very, very fast speed last time. Hope that they run along here from the outside barrier, because it'll be spotting them a start and finishing over the top. Third, I've put in number 4, which is Harlem River, drawn to get the nice run just off the pace as well. And fourth, number 6, Miss Gidget.
Well, I'm hoping they do run along, because I'm with 1, Serene Majesty, to beat 4, Harlem River, 3, Haybar, and 10, Valley Sweetheart. Race 6, last leg of the early quad, is the Melbourne Signage Concepts Moonee Valley Gold Cup over 2,500 metres, Carl.
Well, I don't usually tumble into these horses trained by Robert Heckmont, but I'm certainly with the United States, particularly at the price of $4.20. I think that's an unbelievable price, considering how well he ran in the Naturalism, and in the JRA Cup, well, he just got too far back, and he did an almighty job to only be beaten 2 lengths. This field is not really chock for depth. Weakened further by the scratching of Let's Make a Deal, who's out of the Spring Carnival, and I just think the United States is one of the better bets in the program at that quite. So got it on top from 1, Priestens, who was very good in the Bart Cummings, and the Hill Stakes run was all right, but going on his JRA Cup run last year, maybe back to Moonee Valley, he might be ready to do something. Third, number 3, Prince of Penzance, and fourth, number 2, Big Memory.
Yes, with you here, number 7, the United States to beat 3, Prince of Penzance, 5, Tayu, and the 10-year-old, number 1, Precedence, for 4th. First leg of the main quaddy at Moonee Valley on Saturday is race 7. It is the Dilmah Exceptional Tees Vase, 2040 metres. Group 2 for the 3-year-olds on their way to the Derby, and a lot of people just won't hear of Tarzino getting beaten, Carl.
Well, I thought Tarzino would be the value compared to Sovereign Nation straight after the Caulfield Guineas. I thought they'd be all over Sovereign Nation and given the fact that it finished fourth and Tarzino finished seventh. But and the fact that also Sovereign Nation was Group 2 winner leading into that as well. But Tarzino short, and just on the price point, I'm going to put Sovereign Nation on top. I think, it was a good win in the start. Get the Pitcher finished second, and Get the Pitcher ran a really good fourth in the Caulfield Classic, and then fourth in the Caulfield Guineas. There's not much wrong with its form. So at around about that $7 quote, I've got it on top from 11, Jamaica, who just looks to be the sort of horse that's going to get better as the races get further. Third, number four, Tarzino. I think any one of those three can win, and they're the three key chances for mine. And then a little gap back to fourth, which is number eight, Tally, who is bred to get over ground. It was a really impressive Kitan Maiden winner, but this might just be coming all a little bit too soon for him.
All right, well, I stuck with the Colts and Geldings here. Four, Tarzino to beat two, Sovereign Nation. Agree they're the main two, although one, Shards, I'm wary of, and six, Hierarchal. Already run well over the 2,000 in the Spring Champion at, in fact, Group 1 level. So my numbers 4, 2, 1 and 6. Race 8, second leg of the Quaddy, Schweppes Crystal Mile, 1,600 metres. I thought Lucky Hustler stands out here, but not many last start winners win this race, Carl.
That's right. It's a bit of a trap race as well, I guess. The wait for age conditions on the way through to the Emirates. I guess Lucky Hustler will be hard to beat. I've got it in for second, just on the... It's $2.25. I don't think it represents much value for a horse that's going to get back in the field, barrier three, might get clubbered away on the fence, and, yeah, it might just find a bit of trouble. I'm not going to take that price. And I'm just going to take the punt on the international runner here, the new addition for John O'Shea Stable, number six, Bow Creek, who has nice form through horses like It's Somewhat and Gordon Lord Byron, who performed well in Australia. And also A-Rod, coming off a 22-length defeat in the Group 2 Summer Mile, is not fantastic form, but prior it won a couple of Group 2 races at Goodwood and Leopardstown, so it's no hack. And from barrier 4, should get a nice run just off the speed. So I've got it on top from 1, Lucky Hustler, 11, Turn Me Loose, who had the pattern of the day in his favour at Seymour, but it was still a pretty good win, and he does drop in weight, and fourth number four, Anavarsio.
Yeah, I'm having said that last star winners don't win, Lucky Hustler is my best for the day to beat Turn Me Loose, who's another last star winner. 12, Worthy Cause for third, 4, Anavarsio for fourth, 1-11, 12 and 4. Third leg of the Quaddy, big race of the day, $3 million, William Hill Cox Plate, standard weight for age, 20-40 metres, Carl.
Great race. It's a really good race, as I touched on earlier. I can't go past the Criterion. He was a very good winner of the Caulfield Stakes, quite a tactical affair, and he came out on top, and it's hard not to think that he's not going to take any benefit from that run into the Cox Plate. He ran well in this race last year. He'll give you a sight. He'll be there in the finish. He's probably the safest each-way option in a race with a few unknowns with these international runners. For second, I'm putting in number 11, Kermadec. I thought the Caulfield Stakes run was quite adequate. I think the firm ground, yeah, probably did pull him up, and the George Main win was really nice prior. He'll be sprouting wings late. For third, number 8, which is A-Rod, has really nice European form lines, and that form through Solo is really good. And over the distance, 2 starts, 2 wins. He's drawn barrier 5, just drawn to get that beautiful run. And when the cleaner maybe strings him out and falls in the hole of the 300, maybe A-Rod will be the first one to pounce. And for fourth, I've put in number 10, Gaylord Shop, who's another international runner. I did think a horse called Freeport Lux might be a Cox Plate contender earlier in the year. He ran fifth in the Singapore Cup. He didn't come out. Well, he's obviously hasn't come out, and he's not in the field, but in his absence, I'll be having something on Gaylord Shop, who's got some strong European form lines. And last year, finished fourth in the Belmont Derby back in July 2014. Second in that race was Adelaide. So his form ties in well. Plenty of chances. Back your judgment. 1, 11, 8 and 10 for me.
13 for me, Highland Reel. Secretariat Stakes win. Similar form to Adelaide. And then fifth, I think, probably even a better credential in the Irish Champion Stakes. Last start, 8, A-Rod. As you mentioned, the solo form is absolute A-grade form to be bringing to the Southern Hemisphere. 9, Complacent, I thought, is worth a try, just one and a bit of odds. And 14, Winx, Well, everyone's all the dogs are barking Winx this week, and indeed she has been particularly impressive both before and after her spell. So she's got to go in, but as you say, look, there's you could certainly make a case for 8, I'd say, of the 14 here. Wide Quaddy Leg 13 to beat 8, 9 and 14 in an absolute cracker of a Cox plate, I suppose. We'll look at it afterwards and we'll say, yeah, that was obvious, but at this stage it is not particularly obvious to me.
And famous last words, I think the only horse that can't win the race is Pornichet.
Really? You think the cleaner can win?
Possibly, if they
Faulkner?
Faulkner after last run, yeah.
No better than last year, surely, and couldn't quite get there last year, yeah.
Pornichet, I just can't envisage any possible way that horse could win.
Mourinho.
Well, I better not say that.
Yeah, no, look, I don't...
correspondent, but I can't see him from that barrier either, but then again, he's the last up Group 1 winner. But it's through inferior form lines, I'd suggest.
I don't think Faulkner, Mourinho, the cleaner, much as I love the cleaner, Pornichet... can't see any of those. I can't see Hartnell winning either.
That Turnbull form line, Preferman and Hartnell. Last week I was thinking it was good in the strong form line, but I'm not too sure anymore. So yeah, it breaks many chances, but I'd confidently say Pornichet can't win. So there you go. You can play that bit of audio when it wins by 2.5 with a leg in the air.
Alrighty, race 10 finishes it off. Brings us home the g1x.com.au stakes over 1600 metres for the mares of 4 years old and up.
Given probably should be stakes spelt in the meek variety, a bit like the other one.
Sure.
But I've gone with 9 Manageress, which is a really talented 4-year-old mare. I don't think we've seen the best of her. Lightly raced, and she's really improving with each run. She was in off an 8-week break last time in Group 2 company. Many thought she'd be outclassed. I think even connections were optimistic of a positive showing, and she really savaged the line over 1,400 metres. She's got a really good turn of foot, and the rise to 1,600 metres is certainly in her favour. It was a toss-up between coming to this race or the Sale Cup, and they've opted to come here, and I think Manageress might vindicate their race selection here. So I've got it on top from 1, Atlantis Dream, 7, Precious Gem. I don't think it's as bad as the run suggests on paper. I thought the effort was good in the stock stakes. And for 4, number 12, Azcadelia.
Well, I'm with you, Carl. It should probably shake your confidence. 9, Manageress, my value bet for the day to beat 1, Atlantis Dream, 2, Girl Guide, and 5, Coronation Chelan. That is my value bet, as I mentioned, and as I also mentioned, race 8, number 1, Lucky Hustler is my best. What about your best in value for Moonee Valley Saturday?
Yeah, Manageress is my value as well, and my best would be the United States and the Moonee Valley Cup.
Okie dokie, Randwick, the venue for Sydney racing on Saturday, back to stock standard off-season fare, and... we wait till late, as is your wont and custom, for your best and value bets, Carl, at Randwick on Saturday.
That's right. My best bet is in race 8. It's number 10, Scherzozo, which has been just bursting to win a race. It got way too far back, 4-star to go at Moonee Valley. It then was held up hopelessly its next 2 runs at Rose Hill. And out to the bigger spaces at Randwick, it really attacked the line, but just didn't get there in time to knock off Hearn's Oak. So I think this week is the week that Scherzozo can break through. And the value bet comes up in the last. It's race 9, number 5, Sabrina. Fitter for the 2 runs this campaign, it has been a bit luckless of late. It should have finished on the heels of the place getters first up over 1,100 metres. That was behind Sultry Feeling, who's been racing well, and then was totally unsuited by the tempo. It started the 3 wide train from about the 900, and it looked gone at the 400, but it just was very strong through the line and was only beaten 3.4 again. I think the conditions of this race a bit more easy than the last assignment, and gets in well after the 2 kilo claim of Brodie Law.
All right, and for Joel's many fans, his best at Rose Hill is race 4, number 7, Better Not Blue, and his value bet is race 5, number 3, Urban Nice. Racing on the Parks track at Morfettville on Saturday, Carl, and a bit of value from you in race 6 in the Scott Trenowden, the informed Scott Trenowden trained Nimmersale.
Yeah, Nimmersale, it's actually come up $4.60, so not quite what we've got it quoted as, but it was a nice first up run at Minori Halidon, and then last time was a bit unlucky at Morfettville Parks, but I really like the last start effort behind Impulse Diablo and also the horse there, Mr. Liberty. They ran very quick time, 108.63 for the 1,200 metres on a good three track, and Nimmersale was getting back and hitting the line hard. She's out of that very good stakes winning mare, maybe McLaren. I think Nimmersale is the way to go in race 6. And also race 8, number 3, Amicone Originale. Fitter for the four runs this campaign. Won well first up. The next two efforts were good at Morfettville and Bendigo in the races of depth, and then just wasn't suited by the pattern of the day, getting back and finishing down the track as favourite at Morfettville Parks. Hopefully they can make grounds on the weekend. If they can, Amicone Originale should be very hard to beat in the last.
Okay, Doomben again in Brisbane on Saturday, and you are going to bring us Joel Marshall's best and value bets.
That's right, his best is race 4, number 11, which is Bearskin. This horse is fitted for the two runs this campaign. It blew the start first up and hit the line hard for 4 behind Hardline. And then second up, the most recent outing was a third at Doomben over 1,200 metres. He hit the lead and just got swamped late on the line. Had 5 starts for 2 wins and a third, draws barrier 4, draws to just get a nice run in behind, and I think myself, Bearskin should be pretty competitive, and his value bet is race 5, number 6, Stormcraft. Now, this horse, Stormcraft, has had 2 starts for 2 wins, but we'll go around a double-figure quote. Its maiden win was at Grafton back in May, and then it resumes with a really nice run-on effort, winning by a length at the Gold Coast. It has plenty of upside, this colt by Starcraft, and he's found it on top as his value tip at Doomben.
All right, well, we got off to not exactly what you call a flying start at Ascot last Saturday, and weather fine, track glossy, I believe, this Saturday, as the green paint will be, well, I'm not sure if the green paint's going to be out because the rail's at the 12-metre position. I think maybe the dead grass was all on the inside there, but anyway, hopefully it'll be take 2 and no problems at all at Ascot on Saturday. We do have a Group 3 race. It is race 3, just 5 to go around, the Ad Energy Group Prince of Wales Stakes, a weight for age feature over 1,200 metres, and highlight of the day arguably is the return of the dual derby winning and unbeatable last campaign filly, now mare, Delicacy, and our panel are all tipping Delicacy to resume with a win under Willie Pike at roundabout even money, with number 5 Magnificio and number 1 Dawn Approach seen as the only dangers, the other two quoted at cricket score odds. So Delicacy to win first up. Joel's best on the Ascot program is race 7, number 8. That is Hobart Jones for Vern Brockman and Willie Pike. And his value bet comes up in the last. That's race 8, number 10. Don't get caught. Always sound advice. And there's a couple of country cups, Carl, on in Victoria on the Sunday. Most notably and most interestingly from your perspective is as our Gippsland correspondent, is race 7 at Sale on Sunday. The East Coast Plum Tech listed Sale Cup of 1,600 metres and $150,000.
I've gone with number 4, Akavoran for Kieran Maher. Noel Callow gets aboard. I think treated reasonably well at the weights, 4 kilos off the top weight, which is 9th Legion, who comes off that 4th in the Toorak. And the bowler's obviously going to be very hard to beat. Looked home in that race on Caulfield Giddings Day and just got swamped on the line over 1,400 metres in that handicap. But I think Akavoran, it got well back in the Toorak and perhaps not racing at quite its best form. I mean, the ninth at Rosehill 2 starts to go was a bit disappointing. Glenn Schofield said it just didn't handle that way of going. And the Toorak run, it just had enough on the line. But the first up run was very good and I think just finds itself in a really winnable race. I've got them 4, Akavoran from 2, the bowler, 8, Tristram Sun, who's performed well this campaign, its two runs. And then 13, Evangelist. The other one, 9th Legion, you'd probably put in for 5th. But a really strong race. Even the undercard, you've got the English Trophy race, always a strong race, well supported by connections there. The $100,000 race, eligible to only horses in the English series. And in that race, I've gone Sonia Doro from Kraken, Stoker, and Fleet North. But a really good race. And also then we look at Hamilton for the Cup, which is the $60,000 2,200-metre event. Temps Valeurs in the race, but I think Dara, I think of Terry and Karina O'Sullivan, they always target the Hamilton Cup. They've got a great record in the race, and perhaps he's the sort of horse we may see pop up on Oaks Day in that Country Cup race.
All right, well, that is race 6 at Hamilton on Sunday, the $60,000 crown bet. Hamilton Cup number 10 is Dara. Leaves us only to remind you to pick up your winning post if you haven't already. Bump 112-page edition this week with all the form for Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We've got full form for both Moonee Valley and Canterbury on Friday night, and all your usual form for Friday and Saturday, plus your Monday fields, plus all the editorial and entertainment features and statistical features that you are used to for only your $5. And finally, our best $20 bet for the Moonee Valley weekend, Carl.
I'll go to the United States in the Moonee Valley Gold Cup, 20 to win.
All right, well, I will go $10 each way, Moonee Valley Saturday, race 10, number 9, Manageress. Have a great weekend, everybody. Back plenty of winners. We, and I presume Joel, will be back next week with the preview podcast.